Good evening. Welcome to Grandview Baptist Church. Let's all stand together this evening. We're taking a hymn book and turning to page number 413, Love Lifted Me. We'll sing all three verses tonight. Number 413, Love Lifted Me. Let's sing that together. Join me on the first verse.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
Sing it!
Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me.
Watch it!
When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
On the second.
All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service due to Him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be. Be saved today.
Sing it!
Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Great singing, please be seated. And in our hymn books, once again, we're turning to page number 283, Joy Unspeakable. Page number 283, we'll sing the first, second, and the last verse. Join me together on that first.
I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All the half has never yet been told.
On the second.
I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin.
Sing it out.
It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All the half has never yet been
at last.
I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great o'erflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All the half has never yet been told.
And let's all bow forward to prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for this midweek service on a Tuesday night and everyone that came out tonight, Lord. Thank you for the teens who went out soul winning and for all those that were able to be saved today. And dear Lord, we pray you'll just speak to our hearts tonight. Please use our pastor as you always do. And Lord, I pray you'll be with tomorrow night, the group that's going to be singing, and that just a good time would be had by everyone involved. In your name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Jackie. Appreciate that so much. Well, it's good to have each one of you here with us on this midweek Tuesday night. And so glad you made it. You never know once you move your dates like that, but I appreciate so much your faithfulness. Our ushers are coming with our prayer sheets, and if you did not get one when you came through the door, just raise your hand real quickly all throughout the auditorium, and they will place one in your hand. And while they're doing that, let me make just a few announcements. You can join the Grandview Messenger by texting GVBC to 99,000. And I think the way is you put in 99,000 and the message is GVBC, all capitals, Grandview Baptist Church. If you'll do that, it should report back to you that you are enrolled. There's a brief bus meeting after the service with Brother Jeremiah, so please meet over here in this section right over here. Every bus worker, if you would do that. Notice tonight, Nathan Goodpasture is our missionary of the week. Nathan and his family serve in the Philippines. He came here when he was just newly married. And as you can see, there's been some additions to his family. It's interesting, many of them that we grow up. We've had young couples come as missionaries throughout the years who are now grandparents. And they were just young couples right out of Bible college when they first came to our church many years ago, and we've been supporting them a long time. Pray for Diana Kirshner. She fell Sunday evening, broke her hip. She was thinking at first it wasn't a break, but it was. And she is scheduled to have hip replacement today at Portland Adventist. So be much in prayer for her. Diana's health is very fragile right now. And with this hip complication, we need to certainly uphold her in prayer. Kathleen Brown wants to let us know she had asked last week prayer for her brother-in-law who was given the report of cancer. Now the report comes back he does not have cancer. So we praise the Lord for that. Glenn White is getting treatments. Continue to pray for him. I believe this week he got chemotherapy and radiation all at the same time. And so we want to continue to uphold him in prayer. Also, Southern Gospel tomorrow night, Legacy 5. If you have not got a ticket for that, I believe we have a few left. I hope that you'll consider being a part of that. I hear they're a good group, and we'll have a good group from our church as well as people from all throughout the metropolitan area. Let me just say, whenever we have something like that, whether it's a wedding or a funeral or any type of gathering here at our church, let me encourage all of our members to go around, shake hands, greet everyone. Let's just all be greeters. I know some of our men are going to be ushers for that. But let's all be very friendly. Don't just show up and act like it's somebody else's church. It's your church. So go around and meet people and say, we're glad to have you at our church tonight. And greet people in the hallways, in the foyer, and in the service. If you'll do that, that'll be a great thing. Now, the doors will open a little earlier at 6 o'clock. The front doors open at 6. The auditorium doors were open later, so you can stay in the foyer a while. I think some of our seniors are going to be selling some goodies there and some snacks and things along those lines, so you can take part of that. And next Wednesday is our Thanksgiving service, so come with a testimony, want to share something you're thankful for. Do we have any birthdays this week or last week? We did not mention that last Sunday night. Anyone with a birthday? And we have not sung for you? Yes, Michelle. Isaiah turned 16 yesterday. Congratulations, Isaiah. Anyone else with a birthday? Jan? This Friday? Okay, Brad, wonderful. Anyone else with a birthday? Yes. 12 on Friday. Okay, wonderful, Chloe. Yes, Mark. Lakins? Oh, Tiffany. Thursday. Okay, Tiffany. Anyone else? Yes. John, when was your birthday? Last Wednesday. Okay. And And see, I was out of town there and we didn't get to sing for you. And anyone else? Natalie just wants to raise her hand, so that's good. I see that hand. Could I see another? Anyone else? Let's sing Happy Birthday, God. Well. Adam has a birthday? Okay, Adam's when's your birthday?
Last Monday.
Okay, let's sing for Adam here. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And let's give them all a big hand. And now, do we have any anniversaries? Anyone have an anniversary? Anyone with an anniversary? None? Okay. Well, this time we'll have our greeting time. Let's all stand and shake hands with one another.
We have a chorus to sing tonight. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. If you need the words, it's on page number 235. A familiar chorus to us. You may not need the words, but if you do, page 235, we're going to sing it through one good time. Let's give it our very best. And then our ushers will come forward for the offering tonight. Sing it out with me together. Here we go. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills, the sun and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than tongue can tell. He is my Father, so they're mine as well. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I know that He will care for me. Please remain standing.
Father, we come tonight singing together, and what we've been singing is so true. And help us, dear Lord, to make it all these hours. We thank you that years ago you put it on the hearts of someone to give his feelings. And it's a good thing for us to come to acknowledge that you own everything, even us. And to give back to you, it not only brings us a blessing, but it brings a blessing to your heart. Because we obey what you want us to obey. We do what you want us to do. And we can have a part in a great worldwide ministry. Thank you for Granbury Baptist Church and the leaders and every member of it. And the great commission that you've given to us. Just to think that you've given this to us to carry the gospel to the round of the world. And I pray, dear Lord, as we do so, be it little or small, we'll recognize that. And one of these days in glory, we'll see the results of it all. This is my prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you.
Well, this time, Little Bear, no, Patch and Pee-wee and the teenagers. It's Tuesday night. Patch, Pee-wee, and the teenagers are dismissed. Wonderful. Now, if you have a prayer request and you'll take that card and fill that out, we'll have the ushers pick those up in just a minute. Let me read what we have here once again, and then ushers will have you pick up the cards. Diana Kirshner, we need to pray a lot for Diana. Pray that God will bless in this hip replacement, but also that this whole procedure will not sap her strength. She has very little. And we certainly want her to be strong, so pray for her. A praise item is Kathleen Brown's brother-in-law. Glenn White, we're continuing to pray for. He's in good spirits. He talked to us about it at the men's prayer breakfast. He's doing well, but he's going to have several months of these treatments, so pray for him. Pray for the activity tomorrow night, apart from the fact that it can be a blessing to a lot of people. It's also an opportunity to reach some people who are unchurched. You know, I found out a long time ago that a lot of people go to Bible studies, never go to church. A lot of people go to Southern Gospel Sings, never go to church. A lot of people do Christian things, but don't have a church that they go to. And one of my philosophies all these years is try to get as many people as possible to come through our buildings. And so we try to make them available for different groups. And I believe that eventually several of those will come and visit with us, and some of those will call our church their home. And so let's pray that God will use that in some special way. And then next week we'll have our Thanksgiving service. Now, if you have a prayer request, would you raise that card up and the ushers will pick that up and we will be sure to share that request. Thank you, gentlemen. Abelina has one, a specialist appointment for her shoulder. Next Monday to determine if surgery is necessary or not. She broke her shoulder there, or collarbone, or separated it, and then broke several ribs and stuff, and been a lot of pain there for a while, but the ribs are feeling a little better. But she'll have to see if that shoulder is going to need surgery to fix that, so let's pray much for that. Phyllis Heimbigner has the shingles and is a lot of pain. I know Larry Buchanan is just getting over that and suffered for a good while with that. So let's pray for Phyllis. That's a bad thing. Lisa Jackson has a bulging disc that's causing a lot of pain and discomfort. So Lisa, we'll be praying for you. Lisa, the last few Saturdays, has been here cleaning all the auditorium, and I see her vacuuming, and she was scrubbing all the black marks off the pew where people's feet had kicked it and stuff. And Lisa, I appreciate it. And think about doing that with a bulging disc. She's been, and many other good people in our church have been serving God for many years doing that. And I want to thank Lisa, and I want to thank everyone else in our church who volunteers their time, whether it's cleaning the bathrooms or vacuuming or polishing. Quite frankly, we could not do it without your help. So I thank you very much. And Brother Vestal, those are our prayer requests. So I hope you'll come at this time and lead us in prayer.
And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can gather here on this Tuesday night. We can assemble, we can sing your praises, we can worship you in a variety of ways. We're also extremely grateful that as coming to you as our Heavenly Father, we can bring to you the needs that we have learned of other people. the issues of life that they're facing. Lord, if we're not careful, sometimes we get caught up in our events of life. But Lord, our prayer sheet helps us remember that others have needs as well. And so I pray that you would please help and heal in these situations. Thinking of Diana today, and Lord, her spirits were up today, yet knowing that this surgery is coming. And I pray that you would please help her through this. I pray that you would lift her up physically. I know that she's grateful that she has a church family that supports her and that loves her and cares about her. And Lord, we lift her up to you not only tonight, but for the next several days. And even before now, Lord, our prayers have been for you to please help her. I pray you'd continue to be with Glenn and these procedures that he's having. Lord, I understand from other people that these can be strenuous and hard on the body. I pray that you would please give him strength and energy. These other needs, Lord, that we have tonight that have been mentioned to us, Lisa with the disc and her back issues, and Phyllis with, Lord, the shingles, and Abilina with this shoulder issue. Lord, our bodies are frail, but we're thankful, Lord, that you've given us a body, and we want them to be as best as possible so that we can serve you to our best ability. And so for that reason alone, we ask that you'd please touch and heal these dear people, because we know their desire is to serve you with their all. And tonight, Lord, as we gather in this service, I pray that you'd please speak to our hearts as we gather around your word. Our pastor presents it to us. May we put aside other things that might interrupt what you have for us tonight, so that we can walk away having been challenged to serve you more. Please bless now in this service, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take your Bible to John chapter 4, if you will. John chapter 4, as we're continuing our study, in fact, ending up our study on the subject of putting the worth in worship. I'm, again tonight, going to use the PowerPoint. It just helps you follow along when I have scripture to read, and it's going to give you a little bit more insight into what we're talking about. And we're going to start with a review. But we're going to read John chapter 4, verses 19 through 24, first of all. And so if you found that passage of Scripture, John chapter 4, let's all stand together and read, if you will. Starting at verse 19, reading down through verse 24. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when it shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts from your word. I pray that you'll give us a truth, even tonight, another aspect of this word of worship. Lord, that we might have a fuller understanding of what it is we ought to do as your servants, as your children, when we come before our God. Now, Father, we want to worship you. And we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. And the more we learn about worship, the more we know what we ought to do as we try to serve you and live for you. And I pray that you'd help us to see this from Scripture. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. As we've gone through this series, The Worth in Worship, the first thing we saw that it was an act with an attitude. An act with an attitude. And the act was to bow humbly before, or to bow before, and the attitude was to have humility, to bow before God in humility. And so in the Old Testament, every time the word worship is used, it's the idea of bowing before, or bowing in the presence. But when you bowed with that humility, that was to worship God. The Greek and primary Hebrew word for that word worship is shekiah. It means to depress, prostrate in homage or royalty of God, bow self down, crouch, fall down flat, humbly beseech, do make obeisance, do reverence, make to stoop, worship, to bow before. It is position of the heart shown with the body. And so this aspect of worship is to bow before, to bow in the presence of God. I remember when I first taught this several weeks ago, that Friday, there was a meeting at the airport Sheraton for pastors throughout Portland. And it was put on by Multnomah University and KPDQ, Salem Communication, for pastors. It was a breakfast, and they had a special speaker come in, Raul Reese. I'd never met him before, heard him before, but he's did a great work, started a church in L.A. and built a church up to about 14,000, I hear. And now he's not the pastor, but he's in full-time ministry. And he was talking to us pastors, and the first thing he said is to the pastors is, fellas, if you're not living for God and you've got sin in your life, would you please get out of the ministry? Very encouraging. And I thought, wow, that's good stuff, you know. And he just let us have it. And I thought, praise the Lord, that's what needs to be. But then he said, what you need to do is every morning get out of your bed and put your nose to the ground and worship God every day. And I just had studied that the Old Testament word for worship literally means to bow before. And with that challenge, with what I preached on that Wednesday, and of course, having preached that, when our staff would meet together, we would all lay down on the ground and we'd pray, as we did today after staff meeting. And we'd just take a turn and all go around and pray. And there was about eight of us, maybe. And so we were praying. And so we'd been doing that. But then when I heard him say that, I thought, boy, that just resonated with me. And so every day since then, first thing I do is get out of bed and go to the restroom. And then I come back. And then I bow. I'm getting real here, right? Okay. And then I come right back beside my bed and I bow on my knees and put my face to the ground. And I spend time just worshiping God, loving on God, letting God know I love Him, and humbling myself in the presence of God. You know, you can never be too low for God to use, but you can be too big for God to use. When I grew up, there was a saying, they'd say, that guy's too big for his britches. And that was an old saying. How many have heard that one? Too big for his britches. And the thing is, you can get so proud God can't use you. But you can never get so humble that God can't use you. I was telling the fellows today, and we were just talking, and one of our staff men said, Pastor, sometimes I get the impression that some pastors are arrogant or something, or feel like they're something special. And I said, well, that fella is living under a grand delusion. He is delusional because he's trying to portray what he is not. All of us, if we're just open and honest with ourselves, should have no trouble being humble before God. Amen? We should have no trouble being humble before God. And God can use humble people. And that's what this primary Hebrew word is, to bow before. It's that position of the heart shown with the body. Now, I know people say, well, Pastor, I don't have to bow down. I can, you know, God knows my heart. Well, yes, that's true. God knows your heart. But that's like saying to your wife, I don't have to say I love you. You know my heart. Doesn't work well that way. You still ought to say it. She still wants to hear it. God knows your heart, But I just feel like when you bow in His presence, He sees your heart has an action behind it. There ought to be an act with an attitude. And to bow down with a humble heart in our God. And that is to worship God with our life. Worship God with our life. Have a humble life before God and to bow in His presence. And that's the primary word of that Hebrew word. And then we looked at the three Greek words that are translated worship. And the first one is an act with an affection. An act with an affection. Bowing down before and literally to kiss one's feet. And it's the proskuneo, and that's the Greek word. It means to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand, to fawn or to crouch to, homage, do reverence to, adore, worship. Now, this occurs 59 times in the New Testament. It's the primary Greek word for the word worship. It originally carries with it the idea of subjects falling down to kiss the ground or the feet of the king. Our reverence for God is an act of worship. So this is an act with affection. It's not just bowing down because God is great. We ought to do that. It's not just bowing down because we humble ourselves in His presence. We ought to do that. But we ought to bow down in a humble spirit with a heart of love for the God who saved us. The God who loves us. The God who purified us. We know what we are, but in God's eyes we're faultless. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And this literally means to bow down before and love on God. Let God know how much you love Him. Just as you would tell your husband or your wife or your children, I love you. We have four grown children. They never leave the home, but what we get a hug out of them. And we let them know we love them and they love us. And they'll hug us and we'll hug them. And we do the same thing with the grandchildren. They line up and we all give them a hug and we let them know we love them. Well, you know, we understand that. That's earthly relationships. And we know how precious that is and how wonderful that is. But it should not be any more wonderful than the relationship we have with our God. We ought to love on God. Man, I love my children, but they didn't die for me. I love my grandkids, love my children. I'd do anything for them. But God did everything for me. I owe Him. He's my sovereign. He's my creator. He's my sustainer. He's my king. He's my Lord. We ought to bow down. We ought to let Him know. So to worship God with our love. So the first Hebrew word is to worship God with our life. This is to worship God with our love. And then the third, which is the second Greek word, is an act filled with awe. With awe. And that means to devoutly reverence God. This is that Greek word, sabonhi, and it means to reverence or to hold in awe. It's like David looking outside and saying, when I see the heavens, you know, and what art God that thou art mindful of Him when He looks up into the heavens. It's like going out in a starry night and just saying, wow, look how big God is. It's like a Christian walking through a forest of tall fir trees or giant sequoias or giant redwoods in Northern California and just seeing how big God's creation is and how small you are and what a great God we have. That's why youth camp is so important in the life of a child, a teenager, because it gives you that perspective of how big God is. Look how big God is. Look at my great God. My God created that mountain with the snow on it. My God did this. My God did that. And so it's to worship with awe. It's not just reverence, it's not just affection, but it's just wonder. It's just like, wow, look at God, look how big God is. It's used 10 times in the New Testament, Acts chapter 18, verse 13. We have it's the middle voice of an apparent primary verb to revere, that is to adore, devout, religious, and worship. It literally means to bow down before and tell God how special He is. God, you're the creator. God, you're the sustainer. God, you're the mighty sovereign of the universe. God, you're the great I am. You're the everlasting God, the eternal Father. You're all these. And you can just start naming titles of God. Lord, you're just all of that and more. It's to worship God with all. And so in this aspect, I think it's to worship God with our lips, with our lips. Sometimes we bow into His presence, like the Hebrew word, we're to bow before with a humble heart. And sometimes it's not a lot of words. It's just heartfelt. Not a lot of words. You know, sometimes you pray, but you just don't have a lot of words, but you have a lot of heart, a lot of emotion. But there's sometimes in our prayer we just ought to use our lips and just let God know how great He is. Just spend a little time bragging on God. You're the great I am. Boy, you're the Prince of Peace. You're such a wonderful, great God. And just brag on God for a while. And that's the idea of this second Greek word. Now, the third Greek word is an act with an action. And the word worship here means to serve. So the idea of this third Greek word of worship, and that's liturno, and that means to minister to God. That is, render religious homage, serve, do the service, worshiper. The idea is what we do for God. So I worship you, God, and let me show you by my actions. Let me do this for you. It's like saying, God, I'm singing in the choir, but I'm doing it for you. Lord, I'm playing the organ, but it's for you. Lord, I came to church on a Tuesday night, but I didn't do it because the pastor said, I did it for you. Lord, I'm here to worship you. I don't care what anyone else thinks about me. I'm not trying to impress. I'm not trying to look like a good Christian. I'm not trying to make people think well of me. I just want you to know I want to serve you. I want to live for you. And so that's the idea of this third Greek word, to serve God. It's to render that homage. It's an evident expression of our love for the God who is worthy of our worship, our service for God. And so in this aspect is to worship God with our labor, to worship God with our labor. And so we talked about worshiping God with our life and with our love and with our lips, and then worshiping God with our labor. And now we come to this fifth, and this fifth one is not the Hebrew meaning of the word worship, and it's not one of the three Greek words of worship. This fifth meaning of worship is our own English definition. Our own English definition of the word worship. And it's an act that ascribes. Now, I probably have to define that word, but that word to ascribe means to give someone their due or to give, show the worth of. To ascribe worship and ascribe Him as worthy of honor and glory and praise. So it's to put God in His proper position. And that's what the English word would mean. To put our God in His proper position. And what's His proper position? Well, the Bible says God hath highly esteemed Him above all things. So He has the preeminence in all things. He might have the preeminence. Now, preeminence is not the same as priority. See, priority is He's number one And here's number 2, 3, 4, 5. Preeminence means here's number 2, and about a mile high up there is number 1. That's having the preeminence. Far above all powers and principalities. So God's not just number 1, He's preeminently number 1. Far above number 2. And so it's a Middle English word, worship, worthiness, respect, reverence paid to a divine being. It's from the Old English, worthscript, worthiness, respect. From worth, we get worthy or worth. And then script, we get the word ship. Its first known use is before the 12th century. And literally it means to worship, to ascribe worth to. So the English word worship means to ascribe the worth to. Worth-ship, to give God His due, give God His worth, to express to God His worth to us. So when we worship God, we're telling God how much he is worth to us. Everybody understand that? And God's worth a lot to us. He is our all in all. Without Him, we can do nothing. So when we worship God, we're letting God know that we think He alone is worthy of everything. And so that's what it's meaning there, to give God His worth, to give God His proper due. And to worship with that aspect means that we ought to let God know that He's worth more. Now, in this aspect, we're not just worshiping God with our lips, but it is more worshiping God with our life, worshiping God with our labor, because this English word worship is not just to show God, tell God how much He's worth. But our whole life ought to back that up. What we do for Christ ought to back that up. Every one of us ought to want to serve God some way. Every one of us serve God some way. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to be in a palace. I'd be glad just to be a servant. I just want to serve. I love God. And I know God loves me. And I just want to do something for God. And we show the worth of our God not just by what we say, but by what we do. It's what we do. Someone said it this way, what you say is what you believe. Or what you say you believe. What you do is what you believe. How many of us have been saved long enough to know it's easier to talk a good talk than walk a good walk? It's so good. I can have one good morning and talk about my prayer life as though that happened every morning. You can have one good time of reading God's Word. Oh, God really spoke to me from His Word. And we tell it in such a fashion, somebody thinks that happens every... No. It just happened this morning. Didn't happen last month, but I got it today. We need to just make sure we're real with people and real with God. You know, the Bible says we're not to show ourselves more... We're not to have people think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Or we ought not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And we ought to be simply honest and open and transparent before people. And you know, you can help somebody like that. I was talking to a young man today. I took him out to for breakfast and we were talking. And he was just saying, he said, now, I know sometimes I want to serve God, he said, but I know that sometimes, you know, I don't always do right. And of course, so I need to wait a while and you know, get good enough to serve God. And And that's right, isn't it, Pastor? I said, no. He said, no. I said, no, if you waited around till you were right with God, you'd never get around to serving Him. He said, really? I said, yeah. If I had to wait till I was totally right with God, I could never preach a sermon. I could never teach it. I could never win a soul. I could never serve God. I said, the truth is, all God has is fallen creatures. But if you'll just humbly avail yourself to God, He'll use you. And I could see hope just light up in his eyes. Really? Like, wow. You mean God could use me? Yeah. Yeah. And He will. You don't have to have your act all together. I was reading about a church today, and they have a model in their foyer. No perfect people allowed. I was reading about another church that is the inner city church, and it has a slogan. It's like this: messed up is okay. Because that's who they reach. Everybody they reach is messed up. Messed up is okay. You can come messed up. That's okay with us. That's who we're trying to reach. People with problems. And by the way, we are people with problems who minister to people with problems. But there's some areas of our life that, praise God, He gave us answers. And so we can help in those areas. So in every one of us, there's some areas of our life we can help another believer, and some areas of our life we can get help from another believer. And so we're getting help and we're giving help, and we're getting help and we're giving help. And that's true for every Christian that's here tonight. Don't think you ever get to the place where, oh man, I'm just, God could never use me. Yes, He can. Yes, He will. You know that God's got an all-volunteer army? And He'll use you if you show up. He'll put you to work. He'll use you. He don't say, I'm sorry, you're too short. I'm sorry, you're too skinny. I'm sorry, you can't do the push-up. I'm sorry, you can't run 10 miles without stopping. No, He'll just say, show up, I'll use you. And God will work on us and make us fit for His use. This act of worship here simply means to ascribe worth to, to let God know how special He is, how worthy He is. And I think all of us believe that God is worth our best effort, but He is. Let me read some verses here in Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. It says, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. Now the four beasts are representative of all God's creation. The 24 elders are representative of all saved humanity. Some would say 12 representing the 12 tribes of Israel and 12 representing the 12 apostles, put them together, 24. So Old Testament saints and New Testament saints, all of God's children praising Him. And the four beasts are representative of all God's creation. And all God's creation is worshiping God. And here's how they're doing. They're saying, Thou art worthy. to receive glory and honor and praise and majesty and just on and on they're going. And folks, that's the crowd we get to be in and get to praise God. And there'll be one of these days where we won't be limited with our human language to express how much God means to us. We will be able to say it in ways that we could never do on planet Earth. And we'll be able to just express with unlimited vocabulary how great God is and how much we love Him. And that is putting the worth in worship. One Hebrew word, three Greek words, one English word. Let's just worship God. This is to worship God with our laud, loud, L-A-U-D. It means to laud. That's how it's pronounced. Say, what's that mean? It simply means to sing praises to. It's an old English word. We don't use it. But it means to sing praises to. And why do we sing praises to God? Because He is worthy. That's why we sing to Him. I hope that this study these last 5 weeks have helped us to learn how to love God better, how to worship Him, how to humble ourselves in His presence. And I sincerely hope that from time to time you find yourself on your knees by yourself letting God know how much you love Him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll speak to hearts as only You can. And Lord, Thou art worthy. We love You, Lord. We love You. Heavenly Father, we can't thank You enough. I pray for Your blessings. I pray for You to speak to hearts. Lord, these are good Christians I'm talking to. I'm not saying they're perfect Christians, Lord. There's no such thing. But these people love You. But Father, I hope this study has just helped them a little bit to practically express their love for You in a way that just makes biblical sense. Help us to be humble. Help us to be affectionate. Help us to be serving. Help us to be filled with wonder. And help us to give You the worth that You deserve. Now, Lord, bless in this invitation. I don't know the needs of Your people. I don't know if this has been a good day or a hard day for them. I believe for every day it's somebody's hard day. Someone had a tough time. Lord, I pray that would always be the kind of church that would care and not assume that everybody had a good day. Somebody's had a rough day. We just don't know who they are. But Lord, I pray You'll help us to love on everybody. And that way we get a love on the one who had the hard day. And Lord, we're thankful that we get a love on You. And You love on us so much. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. We're singing Just As I Am. If God's speaking to your heart, our altar's open. You might need to pray or want to. God bless you. It's so good to have each one of you here with us tonight. Tomorrow night we have a special event here at the church on Thursday night. We have our soul winning at 6:30, and so do be mindful of that as well. And I love you and thank God for you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And let's see, Brother Adam, come and dismiss us in prayer, if you will.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the great message tonight. Thank you for Pastor speaking on worshiping you, Lord. And I pray, God, that we would take it to heart, that we would work on giving you what you're worthy of, our worship and our time and our praise and our thoughts, Lord. What a great message tonight, and how beneficial it will be to us if we can live that, God. So I pray, Lord, that's our prayer, that's our desire. And I pray, God, that you just help us do that. We'll give you the praise and glory for it. In your name I pray. Amen.